She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 197, The Benefits of Having a Co-Founder with Jenny Brown.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hey friends, today's podcast episode is sponsored by Acuity Scheduling. And with Acuity Scheduling, you can quickly view your real-time availability and self-book your own appointments, and people and your clients can pay online, reschedule with a click, and eliminate 100% of the drudgery, which I am a massive fan of Acuity, and I use them for my meetings and for my She Did It Her Way interviews. And it's a great way to be able to collect, schedule information super easy, eliminates hassle for me. And I also am able to collect documents through the scheduling tool as well. For more information about Acuity, head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com for this specific podcast episode and click the link on there to start your 14-day free trial. Oh, guys, I got to tell you, this episode was such a delight to chat with Jenny Brown, who is the co-founder of Prim Marketing, along with her partner in crime, Sophie Davis. And originally, Jenny did marketing for mid-sized businesses in her early 20s and ended up working for brands such as Samsung, Nabisco, and Pepsi. And she was in love with the field of marketing and loved that she got to tap into her creative side along with writing, designing, and working on a team. However, she wasn't in love with the practice of working so hard to make these huge brands money. And so she didn't find that much meaning in her work and eventually left her job, decided to get her MFA in writing in order to transfer her creative skills to an artistic form. And she also got a side job handling the marketing sector at a boutique PR firm, which is where she met Sophie, who was in charge of cross promotion and strategy. And through that interaction and relationship building, Jenny and Sophie then launched their own company, Prim Marketing. And in this episode, I chat with Jenny about what it is and what it means to have a co-founder, how to learn how to distinguish your role in your business when you have a co-founder, so co-founders, I guess you could say, two people or more, find out how to work with your co-founder by picking up their habits and behaviors, figure out the best way to tweak your services to fit your client's behavior and needs, along with so much more. So stay tuned for coming up next with Jenny Brown.
Yeah, take two. Here we go. We've got Jenny Brown, who is co-founder of Primmed Marketing, and her co-pilot is Sophie Davis. But we've got all of Jenny Brown today, and I'm super excited for Jenny to share her journey and then the journey of how her and Sophie started their company and what it is that they specialize in and how they help their clients. And then we'll dive in, and Jenny's going to share some tips and tricks with us about their expertise and how you can implement them in your business, whether you're thinking of launching a company or you've just recently went out on your own. So Jenny, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Absolutely. Well, give us the DL, the down low on how did you find yourself in the entrepreneurial space, and then how did you and Sophie connect? I'm assuming, I know there's a lot that goes before you were an entrepreneur. So share with us that journey as well.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is I wouldn't have said that I dreamed of being an entrepreneur. You know, there's some people that are like, I was trying to figure out how to quit my job before I even had a job. I wasn't necessarily that person. In my early 20s, I kind of had a winding career path that eventually landed me in marketing. I was doing marketing for small, mid-sized businesses in the beginning part of my career. And then sort of as my career developed, I moved along to doing marketing for some really big brands like Samsung and Nabisco and like Taco Bell and Pepsi, some of the bigger brands in the industry. But at that point in time, I was just so in love with the idea that somebody would pay me to do this thing called marketing. that I thought it was a miracle. You know, I'm designing, I'm writing, I'm getting to be creative. I have these great colleagues. And part of why I perhaps didn't think that I wanted to be an entrepreneur is that my husband, we're here in San Francisco, he's in tech, and he's maybe more of the, I don't know, do you watch Silicon Valley?
No, I've watched a few episodes in the past, but not a ton.
Okay. Well, for any of your listeners who have checked out the show, he's more of that kind of entrepreneur, right? Where it's like a business idea and they're building a product and you're incubating the product and getting it out there and you're raising funding and hire. And I just really never saw myself in that space. So Sophie and I met a couple of years ago working at a PR firm, and it's sort of a bigger backstory, but the small, most important parts are I had left my job working for the company or marketing for bigger companies because I found that I just wasn't really fulfilled by working, like trying to help, for example, Toyota make more money. Mm-hmm. That didn't really make me feel like I was making my mark in the world and like I was doing something meaningful. So I actually left that job with no plan, which is not like me at all. I left that job and I went back to school. I was getting my MFA in nonfiction for writing. I decided, you know, I've always kind of been creative. And what if I decided to take my creative skills and try something that's maybe a little bit more artistic and not necessarily through business? But because I'm a total type A person that has lots of pots jumping at once, during the program, during my full-time master's, I was working at a PR firm on the side just to bring in a little bit of money during that time to help our family. And that's where I met Sophie. So in that business, there was a PR, it was a small boutique firm. There was a woman doing traditional PR. And then I was doing the marketing work and Sophie was doing the social media work or cross promotion, the strategy type work. And the way our relationship worked there was I would make a thing and then Sophie would be like, this is great. We can get this blogger involved and we can maybe contact this brand. And this is how we can make this, like, you know, the biggest opportunity possible. And it was just before Christmas one year when I think this was 2013 that the structure of that PR firm shifted. They lost some real bread and butter clients. And Sophie and I found ourselves without a job just before Christmas, which wasn't ideal. But it turned out to be really great because we started freelancing in the like January, February, in the coming months. And we just found that we kept offering our skill sets together, that I would offer something and say, but wait, you also have to hire Sophie too, because she's sort of the other half of what I do. And a couple months into that, into 2014, a client had said to us, oh my gosh, you know, like, who do I pay? Oh. So we decided to just umbrella our skill sets to bring our clients, you know, sort of the best of that, like, creative, strategic, whimsical, fun, so that they could have the whole breadth of what they're looking for.
So you guys have been doing this then since 2014.
I know.
That's amazing. Now, so did you finish your MFA then?
I did. I finished my MFA in December of 2015. So actually for the first like full 2 years of running the business, I was also doing a master's degree full-time on the side.
Wow. Oh my goodness. So what was it like then when you guys started working together, and what did you have to learn about Sophie or any sort of just behind the scenes insights when you start a business with a partner, and what does that look like?
So many things. We could have a whole like podcast just about that, but A couple of things that we learned, and especially for somebody who's thinking about maybe grabbing a partner or they're flirting with the idea of having a partnership, in the beginning, especially like that first maybe 2 years, 18 months, Sophie and I had a lot of role overlap, I guess if you want to call it that. Like we just weren't really clear you know, we were really clear when we were working in the marketing company or in the PR company, whose role it was to do what thing when it came to certain parts of the work. Mm. But when it came to like running the whole business, there's, as you know, there's so much more that goes into running a business than just doing the creative part of your job. Or if you're a consultant, just doing the consulting work. And we just had a lot of role overlap, and it wasn't really clear who was going to be the person who does this and who's going to be the person who does that. And that it led to a lot of inefficiencies, and it also just led to a lot of frustration, I think, on both of our parts, because it wasn't clear whose purpose is being really tapped into and which part, and who was driving at what point in time. So I think that was a really key thing, was when we've sort of like found Sophie at that point, or at a certain point, really stepped in as our business development person. So she's the one that's like out, you know, generally if somebody's interested in one of our products, they're probably going to talk to Sophie. And I really stepped into more of the role as the CFO and the person who's doing our systems, because I tend to have a really strong left brain. And I think once we sort of clicked into those positions, that really helped.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys divvy, like, assign workload or project how many hours something's going to take? And then how do you manage all of that?
That's tricky. And I'll tell you, some of it has just been, I like to use the phrase, like, riding around the block a couple times and then taking note of the trends that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. I was really uncomfortable our first year for that reason, because I, like I said, as much as I'm a creative, I'm also a left brain person and I like data. And so the first year was really hard because I didn't feel like we had data to rely on. So some of that, like those managing pieces, we've found a rhythm over time. But in the beginning, we just tried a lot of different things. We use Basecamp as a project management software, and we'll assign each other things there. We have a calendar that I live and die by the calendar, and I know so does Sophie. And so a lot of times if something's really important, we'll end up calendaring time to say, like, for example, later today, we have a meeting scheduled to go over our funnel in one of our email marketing programs. So calendaring time has become really important. And then some of it, part of it is just learning your partner, to be honest. I mean, I'm sure it's just like being married, right? You kind of learn to speak your partner's language. You know, I don't know, for example, it's like 11:35. I know that Sophie tends to, like, if she hasn't eaten, probably not the best time to bring up like a confrontational conversation or something that's really pithy. So like, maybe I'm going to wait until 2 o'clock in the afternoon and say like, hey, let's dig into the numbers now, for example.
Yeah. Never talk to anyone when they're hangry.
Sophie doesn't get hangry. But yeah, like just knowing that she loves food. She's a good food person. She keeps me well fed.
So then how, for you guys, how did you figure out what you were your core offerings? Did you know that right away, or was that through just discovering after working, like you were saying, riding around the block a few times and collecting trends and really honing in and seeing what your clients were looking for?
Yeah, it was a little bit of that. And it was also a little bit of figuring out what our clients needed that they weren't asking for. So we started by offering kind of everything marketing under the sun. And part of that was that what we were doing in the PR firm was a little bit of everything. So Sophie was doing social media management. We were writing people's newsletters. We would write their blogs. I was designing logos. I was making websites. I mean, basically, you name it. And we probably, you know, those first couple years, we probably were offering it. I think I even did some package design our first year or so. And I think I don't want to poo-poo that, because I think for people who are really just getting out there, there's nothing wrong with putting as many irons in the fire as you can. And particularly if you're just trying to get paid, there's nothing wrong with doing all the things that are within your capacity to do just to try it on and see what fits and what feels good. We learned after like a year or two, I can make websites, but that's not actually not what I'm the very, very, very best at. And we started offering something that we call the brand plan, which is a brand strategy. And for people who aren't familiar with marketing speak, basically it's a plan that helps you figure out what is compelling about who you are and what you're doing. Who are the people that that's going to resonate with? And what are the ways that we can talk to those people in a really meaningful way that doesn't feel salesy or gross? It feels really authentic. We started creating those for clients for free because we found that we had some clients who would say, okay, you know, this is going to be the campaign or the strategy. And then they'd go to dinner and they talk to some guy who was like, oh, well, you know what you should do. Mm-hmm. And he's telling them this idea, right? And then they come back and they want, okay, like scrap everything, everything out the window. We're not going to be on Instagram. Snapchat's the new thing. We have to double down on Snapchat. And it was just exhausting. For them. It was wasteful of their money. It was exhausting for us because we never really got to have good exports. Like we didn't get to focus on anything long enough to make it meaningful. So we started creating these plans and just saying, hey, anytime you have this idea that feels like you're getting FOMO, you're feeling pressure, you want to burn it down and start over, let's just go back to the foundation of who you are, what you're really best at, who your people are, what they really need. And if it's not in the plan, we don't have to burn it down. And, you know, over a couple years that really helped out. And then somebody said to us, you know, you really should be charging for these. you know, as we lost specialties, like I don't do logos anymore. I don't do websites anymore. We have had the brand plan become the center sort of keystone of everything we do. So some of it is just trying things on, and some of it is charging for things you're probably already doing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's so many things too that like when we look at inventory and, just our time and everything that we know it like the back of our hand, but then other people don't. And sometimes that's an opportunity to be able to say like your time is valuable, and those mm-hmm. are things that you do deserve to be able to bring in that energy flow of money in that capacity.
Absolutely.
So, and, oh yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you'd be surprised how many people, especially women that we work with, are quick to shove that stuff under the rug. Oh, you know, I just do that. It's fine. I don't need to charge for that. And sometimes that's the magic, right? That's the special sauce.
Mm-hmm. I've done that too. In the beginning, it's like a little weird in getting used to it. But then once you've gotten yourself and you're confident about the value that you are delivering, then it's much easier and you understand the value. And it's not just like, oh, let me make money, but it's an energy exchange. And I know that mm-hmm. when I personally pay for things or services for people versus like there's a lot of free content that yep. I always recommend and tell people to go out and seek that out. Seek out the free content that people are giving. And a lot of times people give you the free content because they don't have time to do one-on-ones, but they're willing to say, here's loads of free content. And then but I know that I actually will implement something, especially when I pay money for it, because it's just so much more impactful and it's more accountable mm-hmm. is what mm-hmm. I personally find too.
Exactly.
So tell us and share with us, like, what are some things that you've noticed or that you can recommend people who might, they can either be like pitfalls or things that people do in the beginning stages of their business that are pitfalls, and then how do we overcome them?
Oh, geez. Pitfalls in the beginning. I can tell you what my pitfalls were in the beginning. Yeah. How about
that?
I don't know that like I can solve, you know, or have like this amazing advice, but here were the things that really tripped me up. I was working way too much. And I think there's a rhythm of that can be natural, particularly for that first year, maybe that first 12 months. I mean, I think your goal at that time is to have this baby fledgling idea and have it not die, right? Like you're basically running as hard as you can and trying to like fan this little flame and say like, stay alive, stay alive, stay alive. I you know, I want to either have this dream continue to move or, you know, whatever it is. So I think it's natural that first year to just be working all the time. And by working, I don't always mean sitting in front of your computer. I mean, sitting at dinner, listening to your partner talk and actually thinking about your clients, like just having that brain space constantly open to your business. And in December of 2015, this was 2 years into the business, 18 months, 2 years into the business, right after I finished my degree, I realized that I had like some legit burnout, maybe even bordering on like what you might call like adrenal fatigue.
Oh, and it was like, yeah,
I can relate. Yep. So I had just been at that like if you think about the way a car works and how you get into those really high like red line RPMs, I had been running in that zone for such a long time. And it wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for Sophie. Like our way of working felt not manic, but my approach to it was very like, we got to get this done. And it took me a while to figure out how to downshift and what it looked like for my work every day to be enough. Mm. And I think part of that that's tricky is especially if you have big goals, if you're a driven, ambitious person, when you have goals that you haven't met yet, it can be hard to say that's enough, even though I'm not making the amount of money that I want to be making, or even though I don't have the audience I wish that I had, or even though I'm not putting out the offerings that I imagine, being able to say that's enough and I'm going to just shut it down for today and I'm going to, I don't know, kickbox, yoga, whatever your alternative life is outside of your business. But that would be maybe the number one pitfall I would tell people is, you know, give yourself a good couple months to hustle it out and then learn how to figure out balance in your life.
Mm-hmm. So I have one of the things when I interview people and even in more conversations too, they talk about, you know, just different seasons. One season might just be hustle, mm-hmm. hustle, hustle, but then how do you balance that or be able to work in the not so hustle mode, because there's different mm-hmm. seasons and there's different times that require different level of intensity. And during intense times, like you're there. And then during the non-intense times, you actually take advantage of it not being extremely intense.
Yeah. And I think what's scary about that, particularly the first couple years in business, is the first time you go through like perhaps a not intense time, or like for us, it's always August, a very quiet time. It's petrifying. You think you're looking at your cash flow and you're like, we're going to die. We're not going to make it. Oh my God. And it's easy to have anxiety and feel like you need to like double down on business development and be knocking on every single door. But we've now just learned how to kind of plan around for that. And this year we closed the business for almost all of July, just because we knew like no one's going to be around anyway. We might as well go to Tulum or go to Africa, whatever, like be with your families.
Is that where you went?
I was in Africa. Sophie was in Tulum.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Love it.
It was amazing. It was the first time that the both of us have closed the business at the same time. And part of that is we hired a lot of amazing people on our team this year, a couple amazing people for our team, but yeah. It kind of felt like we left the baby for the first time.
That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, how do you guys structure, how do you plan out your year? How do you start looking at something? I mean, have you guys started, I assume, looking at 2018 at this point?
We haven't quite yet. Just because we have a mastermind meeting with our group next week. So yeah. To answer your question, we do it in quarters. I don't really believe, I mean, I guess if you're a big enough business where you're being booked into like speaking gigs or, you know, whatever that is, maybe you have a book coming out and you're all the way in 2018, totally. But we tend to plan in quarters just because sometimes when you get halfway through the quarter, you realize something's going to change and you've spent a lot of money planning for the next year. So we'll do visioning. Like, for example, we're thinking right now about maybe some sort of digital product. Like, how do we take the brand plan, which is a higher end offering? It's, you know, it takes a lot of our brain space. So it takes a little bit more finances to make that worth it for us. So we're trying to think about how do we make that more accessible at a lower price point. That's something we've been visioning for a couple of months. But once a quarter, we also have a mastermind group of other like-minded businesses where we take the whole day with these five or six women and everyone comes in with an ask and we call them hot seats, and we'll go through and all the other businesses will help pour in ideas and strategies for what that, you know, that business owner can do in their business. And a lot of times that will help us give us focus for the quarter.
I love it though. That's what I like, being really intentional about the rest of the year, even looking, but I love how you say the vision of it, talking about things that, you know, what's possible in 2018. And then as it gets closer, you can put legs to it and figure out what that looks like for that. Mm-hmm. I know you said you guys use Basecamp. Is there anything else that you guys implement or use or do on a daily basis that really helps you keep track of your clients and where you're at with the content? And then how do you make sure that you're being proactive versus reactive?
All the systems. That's sort of my sweet spot in the business, is setting up systems. And I just think that if you can measure it, you can manage it. So I know that that's not maybe for every creative entrepreneur, but we use Basecamp for client management. We have a phone call with our team every Monday where we run down the whole list of clients and, like, you know, okay, this person, where are they at? What do they need? What's coming this week? What meetings do we have this week? So there's some sets of regularly scheduled meetings throughout the month. The weekly stand-up is one. Sophie and I also have a monthly financial call. We're working with a CFO, a sort of outsourced CFO. I got to the point on the CFO side where we were kind of beyond my skills, and we've hired some help there to just help. I call it bumper bowling. Oh. Just make sure we're just on track. So we have that monthly meeting. And then what other systems do we use? We use Contactually is a new system that I'm playing with right now. We haven't fully integrated that, but that's this really amazing CRM where it kind of looks at all of your contacts and you can put them in different buckets, like podcasts I want to be on, or long-term brands that I would love to work with. And it just it keeps track of how often you've talked to these people. And then it'll send you a reminder that says, hey, it's time to email that person at that brand you want to work with. You haven't talked to them in 4 months. And so that's a great system that helps make sure I don't have to keep all those relationships in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I can keep them in a system. We also have this big spreadsheet that I wrote called our quarterly blend. And that's a combination of our sales pipeline plus our bookings for the year. So we use QuickBooks, but it's a great way to, like, at a glance to see who are we talking to, what might close in the future, and then what revenue has actually come in this month. And that helps. Since I sit on more on the financial side of things, that helps a lot to say, hey, we're going to be really poor in July.
And then, like, hey, here's what's coming.
Yes, exactly. And that together with I'll give you this as my last favorite system, YNAB. It's called You Need a Budget.
I've heard of this.
Yes. This is my favorite thing in the entire world.
I'm Googling this right now.
YNAB is actually for personal finances. I started using it with my husband. It changed our lives. That's a whole different story. But it just got us really, really mindful, I guess, about what we wanted our money to do for us. And so I employed it over at Primd. And so that's another way that I can say to Sophie, like, right now we're covered through the next 2.5 months, but I know by looking at the number of people we're talking to, we're going to be really poor in November. And so we can do something about it now, you know, at the time we're recording this, it's September. So that we're not having last minute anxiety in November. We have, you know, 3 months to figure it out. So systems are my favorite way to keep ahead of the curve.
Wow. Okay. I'll have to look at that. So you implemented that with your company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My husband and I, we use Mint. He's been a long-term Mint user, I think, for years. And then I started maybe a few years ago, but I definitely heard of YNAB. So I'll have to look at that. Yeah.
I'm a Mint convert. We were in Mint, but I've joined the other side.
Gone to YNAB. No, yeah. I'm always open for, I mean, if something can do it, I mean, right. Like, you have to get to a place where you're not constantly switching at the next, like, yes, system, but if there's a way to even do it better, mm-hmm, to make more money, save more money, whatever that might be, then hey, why not look into it, you know?
Yeah, the small thing I will say about mint versus YNAB is I found that mint was a great way to find out what happened to your money in the past. YNAB is good at figuring out what is the money in my bank account, how far can that go into the future, so that you can. So that for me, that was the bigger like, oh, cool.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
Very fun. Well, what share with us as we wind down, what are some of your favorite books that you've read that are really impactful?
So I have a little confession to make.
Yes, that's all good.
I'm not a very good entrepreneur. Well, no, I won't say I'm not a good entrepreneur, but I don't read business books at all for any reason.
That's a like part. No, that doesn't make anyone bad or good. That I mean, everyone's got like Gary Vaynerchuk always said he's only read like 2 books. You think he said? So
yeah. Well, there are people I love to follow, and I consume podcasts like crazy. But this sort of harkens back to the MFA and the writing. I'm really trying to cultivate a creative practice where I have some space in my life to not be in the systems and the hustle and to be able to write and create. And my reading time has really become, you know, something that feels like I'm consuming other artists' work. And I'm very, very hesitant to like let the business sort of grow into that part of the garden, so to speak.
I love that way of looking at it because it's, you're right. Like there are times, I mean, it's so easy to consume, and like I'll take podcast breaks where I don't listen to a podcast that like I might listen to a news podcast, but I choose not to listen to something about like business or how to include like increase your click funnels and all that stuff. Cause like, it's just so much sometimes that you have to take a break from doing all of that.
Yeah. I will tell you though, if I was to give you one book, The Paper Menagerie by Ken Liu. It's science fiction and fantasy, so it's not going to help your business, but it may give your brain a break. It was one of the most like delicious books I read this year, which I'm not normally a sci-fi person. That was kind of a leap for me. But it's all these beautiful short stories about, like a little bit of futuristic stuff, a little bit of fantasy. It was really neat. So if you're looking for something different, The Paper Menagerie by Ken Liu. Paper Menagerie.
Okay. We'll put a link to that.
Yeah.
In the show notes.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I had a question and then it was like fleeting. give me a second. Oh, this is why I wish I would have wrote it down. With it was something to do with the business, potentially outsourcing. So one question I was going to ask, like, what is the next thing that you guys will outsource? Or if you could wave a magic wand, what would it be?
That's an interesting question. Actually, this one was harder for me to think about just because this year we hired a writer / junior marketer, a social media manager, and a project manager. So we went from like Sophie and I doing all the things to having a junior Jenny, a junior Sophie, and somebody to keep us straight.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So this year, it's been a really exciting year, and I'm really actually excited to look into Sophie and I kind of stepping further into those roles of what it looks like to be the boss and feeling out the future. But with that, we're doing a lot more business development. And because I tend to sit on the system side, I would really love somebody who could come in and kind of get us a little more geekily into lead gen. Like, I think maybe you've experienced this perhaps with your business, but like there's a complicated web of SEO and sales funnel development. And it's not really just about writing great content. There's other ways that you can get in and really optimize to be sure that that's creating a really amazing experience for people who are trying to get to know you. I would love to kind of tighten that system a little bit. Mm-hmm. So.
You and me both, sister. Yeah, I'm totally with you. Oh, my goodness. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on the show. Please share with the listeners where they can find more information about you and Sophie.
Yeah, you can hear more about or see more kind of behind the scenes and what Sophie and I are up to over at Primmed on Instagram. That's kind of where we hang out a lot. It's Primd Marketing, P-R-I-M-D, and then the word marketing. And then if you want to check out our stuff, we're on the web at primd.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.